He's called the Dirt Doctor. You can call him at 866-444-DIRT. And here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. Telephone number to be with me on the show here is 866-444-3478. And I remembered what I had promised to give out while you were getting your pencils. It was the address to send us a self-addressed and stamped envelope for those of you who don't have computers and want to get a copy of this latest newsletter, or any newsletter, if you tell us which one it is, I guess, be fine. Send us a large legal size, you know, not a big manila folder looking thing, but just a legal size envelope stamped and addressed to you, and we'll send you a copy of the latest newsletter about the nutrition program that I recommend. The simplest address to send it to us is just Dirt Doctor or Howard or whatever you want to send it to, Post Office Box 140-650-75214. Once again, Dirt Doctor or Howard Garrett, Post Office Box 140-650, Dallas, Texas, 75214. Okay. We're going to talk about planting some and bed preparation. This hour actually is brought to you by Texas Plant and Soil Lab, and it's a company I recommend to get a good quality baseline soil test done. You can do it before you do the bed preparation or after. People sometimes like to do it both places to see the difference in what the bed preparation does, and then monitor it on an ongoing period of time. People in the growing business trying to make a living growing something, I strongly recommend doing that with your bed preparation, and then do tissue sample tests of the things that you're growing to see what nutrients are getting into the plants, what's getting in there properly and not getting in there properly, and then you learn how to tweak it so you maximize your fertility program so that what you're buying is as efficient as it can be at producing what you want to produce but not wasting money. It's Texas Plant and Soil Lab. Their website is asktheplant.com. There's a banner ad on the side of our pages and dirtdoctor.com as you go through there. And we'll talk more about planting. I want to talk about roses and some of the other things that some people think are too difficult to grow. We'll get into those a little bit. But first, Carol's been waiting a while at Lake Tawakoni. Hello, Carol.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. What's up?
Well, we had a couple cold snap a few weeks ago, and then we got kind of warm and humid, and we had all that rain. And we have crepe myrtles that have bloomed again, and pear trees that are just blooming like crazy.
Right.
And yeah, I've had cannas and marigolds rebloom again. And I was wondering if you could tell me why.
Well, they're just mixed up, that's all. When you have the weather giving them a false impression that they've gone through some cold weather and then now it's spring again.
That's kind of exactly what we saw.
Yeah, they'll bloom like that. Fruit trees are really bad about doing that. It doesn't really hurt much at all, and the other part of it, Carol, is there's nothing you can do about it. So.
Oh, no, I just think it's kind of odd seeing the crepe myrtles and the pears blooming with the trees turning colors.
No, that's right.
you know, it's really kind of weird.
The more common thing is that a lot of the crepe myrtles just look terrible. They didn't get their real pretty fall color this year like they did at all. They just kind of went straight to being brown and even black in some cases, and didn't put on the show that they sometimes can. That happens a lot of times when the weather is like a roller coaster. When it gets cold and then it gets real hot again, and it gets cold and hot and does that, it messes up fall color quite a bit. It's why the fall color is so beautiful in colder climates. You know, when the cold hits, it kind of hits and stays there. And you have a lot of bright sunshine and all, and the combination of those two, nice, crisp, cold, frosty weather with clear skies, that's where you get the brilliant, beautiful fall color.
Right. Well, we had about 3 or 4 inches of rain right after that cold snap came back, I guess, in September, late September or something. And just this last week or so, when I finally, when I got back out, the whole, I mean, the pear trees are just beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
It's just kind of strange. But, okay, well, that's all I was needing. I was just curious. I told my husband I was going to see if he knew.
Nothing to worry about.
Okie doke. Thanks a lot.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Well, the thing I wanted to talk about, let me go ahead and work it in real quick here, and then we can expand on it as we go. I've had some questions about planting roses, and I think a lot of people are under the impression that they're hard to grow. They're really pretty tough. We just took some out in our experimental gardens that had gotten too big, which we knew it was by design. We had some Peggy Martins that we knew were going to get too large. We're taking them out, and then we're moving some of the Mutabilis, the butterfly roses, over to new locations, and we're going to be doing that as soon as we get just a little bit more cold weather. It's going to be the perfect time to do it. You just cut the plants back to a size where they're handle or they're easy to handle. It doesn't do any good to cut the foliage off to compensate for the root growth that you may hear from other people, but as far as just handling the plants, cut them back, move them over to the new location. You can bare root them or put a ball of earth if you want to lift something heavy, either way you want to do it. It's just going to be a perfect time for you. Those of you in the north have already had good freezes. You're already there. And folks in the south, you're pretty close. We're getting some questions coming in also about palm trees. We've got an article in the library on the homepage about the cold hardy palm trees that we recommend. That tends to be one of the most common questions. How do I protect my palm tree in the winter and things like that? There are some very definite ones that are cold hardy. The most confusing one is about Washington palms or Mexican fan palms. Mexican fan palm, that common name usually is the Washingtonia robusta. And it is not cold tolerant here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It'll freeze here, and north of here, you just shouldn't try it at all. The confusing thing is that there's an almost identical palm tree to it that's tough as nails. And it's called a California fan palm, and it's Washingtonia filifera. And it is really tough. You might read about both of them more if you're thinking about buying one, or if you've got a Washington palm and you want to know, you know, which whether you need to protect it or not. And protecting it, the trunk is the most important thing rather than the foliage. And then you can also read about the other ones like needle palm and Mediterranean palm and the other ones that are tough if you live in an area that has some cold weather. Anyway, one thing else about palms is that as opposed to the normal trees that we recommend, telling you not to fill on the trunk and all that, and I still don't recommend it highly, but palms, because of the different vascular system they have in the trunk, you can get away with having soil up on the trunk of them much more so than you can with all these other trees that we deal with. Dory in Denton is next up. Hey, Dory.
Hi, how are you, Howard?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Thanks to you, I am organic, all right? And I have this plumeria plant potted in a plastic pot, and I've set it out into my flower bed. Well, due to the cold snap, I tried taking the whole pot into the garage. The roots are huge, humongous. They went out of the pot into the ground. I'm trying to figure out how to salvage the plumeria tree now.
Well, they're actually pretty tough, Dory. I've got two great big ones that are in whiskey barrels in my driveway, and they looked a little weepy this morning. It got cold enough, like I said, when I drove in, there was frost all over the golf course that I passed and some other places too. And so as soon as you have some frost, the foliage is going to start turning yellow and falling off. And that's the time to move them into a protected area. You can do it two ways. You can take them in and let them just basically dry out in a garage. Just keep a very little amount of moisture in the soil there, and they're going to lose their foliage completely, and they don't need a lot of light for that. The other way to do it is to bring them in just like they are with the foliage still on the plant and put them in a greenhouse situation.
Here's the problem I'm having. The roots have spread out to about 2 feet out of the pot, underneath the pot.
Well, that's fine. For bringing them in, just cut that off like you're pruning off a limb. Yeah, and you don't need to worry about those roots at all. You're breaking up so bad, I can't understand what you're saying, but you can cut those roots off.
Cut the roots off for the winter, and they'll survive?
Oh, yeah, especially the ones that are growing way out wide out of the pot. A lot of people will just bring in the top and just stick it in the ground and propagate it from a big stem. They propagate very, very easily. I'm going to need to run. Let me talk to you more if you had something off the air. You're breaking up pretty much there anyway. So I'm Howard Garrett. I'll be back right after this. One of the places you can go to buy Crazy Water is at the Crazy Water store in Mineral Wells. This is where the Crazy Well is and where you can purchase Crazy Water and many related products. Crazy Water is what I drink, and there are several reasons why you should too. Other waters can't add naturally occurring minerals to their water, only synthetic ones. Crazy Water's high level of natural minerals are more readily absorbed by your body than synthetic minerals. Crazy Water is also a natural sports drink without all the artificial flavors and sugars. Crazy Water drinkers love it because it's real and it's an easy means of hydration and electrolyte replenishment. Crazy Water's been making people feel good since 1881. Go to drinkcrazywater.com and click on Find Us to locate a store in your area. If your favorite store is not carrying Crazy Water, click on the red Get Crazy banner ad on the top of the store location page to print a page that you can give to your store so they can get Crazy Water for you. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
The Natural Organic Warehouse provides state-of-the-art natural organic products and programs. If you are a grower, farmer, rancher, landscape contractor, or homeowner who expects excellent results, convenience, and to save money, then you need to visit naturalorganicwarehouse.com. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com. Once again, naturalorganicwarehouse.com. The Natural Organic Warehouse. Organic programs and products that work. Tired of poor-performing crops, gardens, or lawns? Texas Plant and Soil Lab offers you the most accurate and thorough soil nutrition test in the industry. Our special method is accurate for every soil type and in all areas of the country. The quality of the water you use for irrigation is also critical to the health of your soil and plants. We can provide you with a complete analysis and corrective recommendations for your water. Go to AskThePlant.com today to see useful information and a full description of our services. That's AskThePlant.com or call 956-383-0739. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health.
Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
The Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products longer than anyone in the organic business. They have quality fertilizers and soil amendments both in liquid and dry form. All of Medina's products work by stimulating soil biology to help all plants. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, you can feel comfortable knowing that you're spending your dollars wisely on Medina products. They have a brand new fertilizer that's going to be on the market pretty soon. I'll keep you posted on that. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina, and it's available in sizes from quarts to large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. Their website is medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at hardware stores, nurseries, garden centers, feed stores, any place that sells organic products. The Medina products are always available from naturalorganicwarehouse.com.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And one more quick thing before we go back to the phones is questions about elephant ears. What do you do with them in the winter? And there's strange information out there about, in, especially for the South, digging them up and storing them in the winter. Those of you in the North that need to do that, you dig them up before it, you know, the frost line goes down in the ground too deeply, and you put those big old bulbs in peat moss, dry peat moss, and store them for the winter. Those of you in the South, leave them in the ground. They're tough as boots. They're tough as nails. Both kinds, too, alocasia and colocasia. Colocasia are the ones that kind of droop, and I remember it because they look kind of like a C, the way they shape. The alocasia, the leaves stick straight up in the air. They're both hardy and can be left in the ground. We had a little bit of conversation on Bob Webster's show. I do 30-minute gig with him every Saturday morning on his show down in on KTSA in San Antonio, and somebody had called in and asked about taro, eating it. Taro, you know, comes from colocasia, one of the colocasia. I think it's esculenta, a specific variety, but don't trust me on that. Some of the elephant ears, the leaves and the base are edible, and some aren't. So if you're going to eat that stuff, I've never done it. Do a lot more research in it before you do it. But as far as landscape plants, they're both really tough plants, especially, you know, in the South, from the, you know, zone 8 south for sure, and maybe a little bit further north than that. Back to the phones. Pat in Dallas next up. Hey, Pat.
Good morning. I'm fascinated to be hearing about you talking about the wheat belly situation. I missed the author of that book. Is it a new book?
It's a fairly new book, and it's let me see what I did with it. It's in the newsletter that we just sent out.
Okay.
And if you go on dirtdoctor.com, you can got it right here. I think you can pull it up. But his name is, William Davis, and he is an MD, and he's hardcore. He basically says it's the worst diet food on the market that you can eat for your diet. He talks about other things he recommends you not do too, but wheat is so ubiquitous. You know, it's in so many things. You can eat a lot of things that you would never dream have wheat in it, and it does. And the problem is the gluten. A lot of people are severely allergic to gluten, but some people, just like we were talking to Maggie early on, a lot of people will have allergies and have arthritis and have this and that and the other thing, and not give it a thought at all that it may be recommended to one of the basic things in their diet. I think it's worth anybody that's having some health issues to try, without question.
Well, do you consider that, or does he consider that a type of diet or a lifestyle change in eating?
Well, both. See, you can't. There's not a way to get wheat anymore that's wheat like it used to exist.
Exactly.
That's the problem. So he's basically saying, you know, you just need to eat other things. And he covers that in the book. He covers the things that are good for you to eat as well as the things that are bad for you to eat. But the main point, I guess the thing that slapped me upside the head the most, Pat, was that he's almost more negative. I think he is more negative about the whole grains that we've been taught to eat. You know, the whole grain buns and bread and muffins and this. Mm-hmm. That. He's more negative about them than he is bleached white bread. So it's a fascinating book, and I'm not saying he's 100% right all the way through it.
Sure.
But I'm sure paying attention to a lot of it and trying some of the things, and I'm already seeing some benefits. Both Judy and I have both lost a pretty good amount of weight, and we haven't changed our diet much other than I don't eat very much wheat. She hasn't even done that yet. She just does the Dr. O'Hara's probiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed her appetite. She's not as hungry as she used to be, and she credits that for her deal. But the probiotic combined with not eating so much wheat and corn, I think can eliminate this obesity problem that we've got out there.
Exactly.
How you get it in place, I don't know. It'd be pretty tough because it's such a basic part of our diet.
All right, a couple of other things related to that. How does he say nuts, or what kind of nuts, if they do, fit into that eating, that way of eating?
It fits in as a very positive piece, and most nuts across the board are good. Some are better than others. Almonds and pecans and macadamia nuts, you know, have that real high-quality oil in them.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the rub there. Nothing's perfect because almonds, with the exception of one guy that we've kind of tracked down here, are irradiating the almonds before you get to buy them on the market. And that destroys the enzymes and a lot of the food value. It doesn't make it where it's a super unhealthy food so much as just ruining some of the really beneficial aspect of the nut. If you can get locally grown organic pecans or organic nuts of any kind, just like the meats and the eggs and the honey and everything we talk about, that's best.
Right. Okay. Regarding planting winter rye, I seeded some in some places that I had lost some grass for the winter.
Uh-huh.
And it has not germinated hardly at all. What have I done wrong?
Let me talk to you off the air.
Okay.
I'll hold you over. We got a break real quick. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has ordered New York City Transit Service to suspend bus, subway, and commuter rail service in advance of the big storm that's expected to hit the eastern third of the U.S. in coming days. Governors and mayors all up and down the seaboard are doing similar things. President Obama's scrapping campaign event scheduled for tomorrow and Tuesday to monitor the massive storm expected to hit the eastern U.S. Most places will get it late Monday and into early Tuesday. 3 days into the latest Muslim holiday and a UN-backed truce in Syria has failed to take hold. Activists say government warplanes and artillery continue to strike positions around the country. And officials and local tribesmen in Yemen say an airstrike has targeted al-Qaeda terrorists in a house in the northern province that borders Saudi Arabia. 3 people killed. This is SRN News.
Do you have dark circles or puffy eyes? If you have dark circles under your eyes, bags, or puffiness, we're looking for you. Because right now, we're sending free jars of a fast-acting eye cream to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls now will learn how to get a free jar of Lumitone, the cream that fades dark circles from view in seconds. You only pay shipping and handling. We only have a limited supply of free jars, so don't wait. For details, just call 1-800-246-5321. Lumitone makes dark circles less visible in seconds. Watch your dark circles fade from view like magic. And Lumitone is great for puffiness, bags, and fine lines by the eyes. This free giveaway is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Call us now for details on this Lumitone free offer. Just call 1-800-246-5321. That's 1-800-246-5321. Call 1-800-246-5321.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. Top-ranked Alabama quickly turned a meeting of unbeaten SEC West teams into a mismatch, reaching the end zone in their first 3 possessions in a 38-7 rout over number 13 Mississippi State. Bama tight end Michael Williams.
We were very balanced. We came out strong. We came out fast.
The 8-0 tide now rolls toward a national title game rematch at number 6 LSU next Saturday. Number 2 Oregon crushed Colorado 70-14 as they advance to a Pac-12 showdown next week against Southern Cal. The 10th-ranked Trojans were upset by Arizona 39-36. 3rd-ranked Florida dropped their first game, falling to number 12 Georgia 17-9. Gators coach Will Muschamp.
I'm just disappointed for our football team. These guys have really fought, and I told them in the locker room at the end of the game, we've handled success and winning very well. We'll see how we handle some adversity.
Colin Klein accounted for 4 touchdowns as number 4 Kansas State routed 15th-ranked Texas Tech 55-24. Klein's 8-0 Wildcats could now move up to number 2 in the BCS ranking.
We're just a bunch of guys that are trying to come together and be the best team that we can be.
This is SRN Sports. Number 5 Notre Dame had an impressive 30-13 win at 8th-ranked Oklahoma to remain undefeated. Washington upset number 7 Oregon State 20-17. The Beavers suffer their first loss. Number 9 Ohio State is 8-0 after a 35-23 win over Penn State. Buckeyes coach Urban Meyer on winning at College Station.
First time I've experienced the stadium and their crowd, and this is big league atmosphere.
11th-ranked Florida State crushed Duke 48-7. It was number 17 South Carolina 38, Tennessee 35. But the Gamecocks lost running back Marcus Lattimore to a knee injury. Kent State forced 7 turnovers in stunning number 18 Rutgers 35-23. And 19th-ranked Stanford held off Washington State 24-17. It was Nebraska 23, number 20 Michigan 9. 21st-ranked Boise State 45, Wyoming 14. Number 22 Texas A&M 63, Auburn 21. Miami of Ohio surprised number 23, Ohio, 23-20. 24th-ranked Louisiana Tech beat New Mexico State 28-14. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard, back with you. I was talking to Pat off the air about the seed a little bit more. If you have some ryegrass or fescue or some cool season grass, especially Elbon rye or something, and it doesn't germinate in 3 or 4 days in the kind of nice weather we've been having, you may not have been keeping it moist enough, which may have been the case with her because of these high winds drying out the surface, you know, so quickly that we've had lately anyway. And then the other thing is the possibility of just bad seed. And that happens from time to time. And if you have some bad seed, taking it back to where you got it and seeing if they've had other cases and all, they'd probably appreciate it anyway. She was asking a little bit more about the wheat belly book, and we were talking, and it dawned on me that in addition to wheat being something that I've recently really cut back on severely in my diet, and you may want to consider too, that comes from this book called Wheat Belly. High fructose corn syrup is as bad or worse. And there's some information in the Wheat Belly book about that as well, and plenty of other info out there for you. And so if you're trying to figure out how to improve your diet and everything, those are that's one that's just a slam dunk deal. Just cut out high fructose corn syrup. Well, it's a high it's a slam dunk deal to make the decision. Just like wheat, it's hard to do because it's in everything out there. It's, if you look at the labels of any kind of processed food, you're going to find high fructose corn syrup in there. So try to avoid that. Try to avoid the products that contain it, and you might want to look at the wheat too. The books that I've mentioned today several times, The Art of Fermentation and then this Wheat Belly book and you know, other books that I recommend. You can look on the website, dirtdoctor.com, and see the books that I recommend in the library there. And one great place to find them is do the website called bookfinder.com. And what it does, it brings up several book sites that have these books, and it gives you an option of buying new books or used ones there, and it's a real good way to go. We don't have any of those for sale in the Natural Organic Warehouse, but if you go to bookfinder.com, you can find them without any trouble there. David in Georgetown next up. Is that Georgetown, Texas?
Georgetown, Georgia.
Georgia. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
Can I use water from our water softener on the garden? Is that okay?
Well, what are you using in it? Salt?
Yes.
It's going to be pretty high sodium levels, David, to use there. You might experiment with it in some certain places or some potted plants and see if it causes some problems. You can counteract the sodium in the various salts with the liquid humates and the Garrett juice and the molasses and all the things that we talk about. But if you're putting it on there time and time again, over and over and over, it may build up some problems.
Okay, and another question I got, can we use wood chips in the garden if they contain pine? We got them from a landfill.
Yeah, sure. You can use pine as a top dressing mulch. You're probably referring to me being negative about pine bark as a mulch.
Right.
It's negative because it won't stay in place. It washes and blows away, and some people recommend, you know, grinding it and putting it in the soil in it. It actually has some natural chemicals as it breaks down that aren't too good for plant growth. But as far as using it in the mulch or in the compost and eventually breaking down and going into the soil, it doesn't hurt anything from that standpoint. It just has some negativity on the front end.
Okay, and can I use cement blocks in the garden? Are they toxic?
There's probably some metals in the haydite block or the cinder block. But they'd be locked up in the product, and I don't think it'd be a problem at all. I've even recommended cinder blocks being used for raised beds.
Okay.
Don't think it's a problem.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate the call.
Bye.
And another David in Paris, Texas, I would imagine.
Yes.
Hi, David.
Good morning, Howard. I really enjoyed your show today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Love the focus on the healthy living.
Thanks.
And your caller, a couple of calls back, Pat, she had some of the most interesting questions, just answered all kinds of mine. Well, anyway, your comments about putting charcoal in the garden, and then I'd like for you to give me a recommendation on a blackberry plant.
Putting charcoal in the garden for what purpose? Just building the carbon in the soil?
Build the carbon.
Are you trying to detox?
No, this is what I hear from some other people, that it obviously builds the carbon, but also provides a habitation for the microbes and serves for moisture retention.
Well, yeah, the most common way we do that, David, is with what are called humates, generically. Humates are basically ancient.
That's essentially the same thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just ancient compost is what it is. The burned material, you know, that's been fired to a real high temperature has the extra advantage of the paramagnetism created by the fire that you won't get in a humate. But both of them are beneficial if you if you want the paramagnetism, getting the charcoal that's, you know, that's been burned and is, you know, gone through that process, that's even better. Some people try to produce it themselves. But both are fine, and they have a neutralizing power. They provide humic acid and other organic acids, so that's beneficial to the life in the soil, the microbes, and the plant growth. And just having the carbon in this system is one of the main things that's missing from the programs where people are just using synthetic fertilizers. They don't get any carbon at all when they use synthetic fertilizers and the kind of amendments that they use. So any way of doing it that's cost effective is fine. The burned of humates, you know, that have had that fire are the best, but they're not. They are available. There's some on the market, but they're a little bit hard to find and they're a little bit pricey. I have no problem with them at all, though.
Well, I'll do some experimenting on that.
Okay.
Now, I want to start some blackberries
okay.
Very soon, and I've got this sandy soil. And my neighbors grow blackberries very successfully around here, but I think I have failed in the past because I didn't have really good, prepared, rich beds.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on that and recommend a variety for me to grow up here. I'm not interested in thornless, and you know, unless they're very productive. I don't care about the glitz of it. I just want the good, reliable fruit.
Okay. My best blackberries in my garden, I have no idea what they are.
Okay.
They're a hand-me-down I got from somebody else. And our partner in the Natural Organic Warehouse, Lance Chastain up in Kansas, he's the same way. He grows them commercially and just tremendous production, beautiful, delicious blackberries. And he got them as a hand-me-down too. The ones that are commonly sold that I would recommend to you, and if you can get them, try all three of them, would be Brazos, Roseburra, and Navajo. There'll be some others in the stores, and they're inexpensive. So just, you know, buy you one of each one that's available. There'll probably be some others that I haven't even named in the stores there locally.
Yeah.
And plant them and see which ones do the best for you. And in the meantime, talk to the community gardens and the people around, other gardeners around the area, and find somebody that has one that's really productive. Get a start. They propagate. They reproduce like rabbits. They're, you know, once you've planted them, they're going to spread and be very easy to grow. So if you can find a gardener that has one that's really effective and productive in your kind of soil in your area, that's going to be the best place for you to get a start.
All right, sir. Those people who are thinking about putting elephant ear on their sandwich, I'm more interested in knowing where they get those great big buns. Thank you, Howard.
That's a good one. Thanks for calling. Talk
right.
to you later.
Bye.
It's Sarah next, and got a worm problem. Sarah?
Yeah. It's whip worms is what I'm told. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
And you know, I was told that only thing to get rid of them, they're in the ground, in the dirt, is to bleach your yard, and I'm not going to do that.
We're not
going to
do that. That'd be really silly.
She looks how she was an adopted dog. She has a long history.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to get her straightened out. But the thing is that I didn't even know she had this. She looks healthy, eats healthy, acts healthy. But that's what I was told.
Well, let me tell you a couple things I would try. First of all, I'd spray the whole place with Garrett juice as a base, and I'd put into the spray 2 ounces of orange oil per gallon of spray. And I would also put out beneficial nematodes don't do them right at the same exact time, because the orange oil will have a little bit of a negative effect on the beneficial nematodes. Do one and then do the other, or do it reverse, doesn't make any difference. I would feed Munster Natural dog food if you aren't already, because it has natural diatomaceous earth in the product at the level and everything that I recommend. And if you're using some other dog food, get a natural freshwater diatomaceous earth and put it in the dog food at about 2 ounces per gallon, two ounces per gallon of product.
Okay.
You know, just like we mix a, you know, an orange oil or whatever in the liquid sprays. And then the final thing that I would do here, let's see, what would be the best thing for me to tell you? There is a product on the market that I'd be very tempted to try. It's called Comfortis. And Comfortis is a, you have to get from a veterinarian.
Uh-huh.
And it's a product, it's a pill that is a spinosad product. And it is very good for fleas, and it's very good for helping with the internal parasites like the DE does. And it also is good for, you know, other pests. It has a kind of a wide spectrum of things it helps with. And I have a feeling that it would help in this case. I would definitely give it a try. The only negatives we've heard about it at all from little bitty dogs or puppies, it has, in a few cases, given them an upset stomach. And that's the worst thing that we've heard about it.
She isn't little. She's 2 years old.
Okay. Well, look at the label. Be very careful about how much you do. But if it were my dog, I'd give it a shot.
And the carrot juice, just regular spraying in the yard.
Yeah, just use it like the regular
oil.
Use it as a base. So you're putting it out and you're stimulating biological activity with it. And the net effect of all of that is we're going to get rid of some creature that's bad. I'm going to put you on hold if you had something else. Got to run for a minute. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
Howard Garrett's new book, Organic Management for the Professional, is the first comprehensive guide to going green in large-scale landscaping, soil building, correct planting techniques, fertilizing, and pest control. You will learn how to apply these organic methods in large-scale landscaping, such as orchards, tree farms, and greenhouses, as well as recreational properties such as golf courses and parks. The Organic Management for the Professional is written for landscape architects and contractors, golf course managers, park administrators, turf managers, or other stewards of the land. Buy it today from your local bookstore, retailer, or the Natural Organic Warehouse.
Did you know that two of the top five most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help. Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend you try for your dogs. My dogs eat only Munster Natural dog food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you. Main thing to them is the taste, but Judy and I notice how it makes them look and feel. Other major points are the absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients around, including prebiotics and L-carnitine. Also, some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time. Some of the Munster dog foods contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, but all Munster Natural foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the United States, not in China. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster Natural, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com and make your dogs and cats happier and healthier.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Back with you, and the number for might not be able to get in today, but for next week, it's always the same, is 1-866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. Just one more reminder, the recent newsletter was about all this health thing that we've been talking about today so much. We need to expand on it, and we'll continue to do that and give you even more information. But some of the products that I mentioned that are kind of hard to find are available through Health Works Mart. And if you look at the bottom of the newsletter, you've got some information there about the members to the Organic Club of America. Get a 10% discount, and you may want to join if you get into buying these products that route. If you can find them in your store near you, that's great, but some of these things that I talk about might be a little bit hard for you to find. You can also just click on the home page, or pretty much any page of dirtdoctor.com, click on the green and purple HW, and it'll take you to that website where some of those products are. You have to hunt around a little bit in there, but you'll find them. Terry and Ben Wheeler next up.
Yes, sir. Now, I was raised in Garland, in that black land, and whenever I moved down here to East Texas, I've always heard about huckleberries. And one guy brought a little twig in, and I tried them, and I liked them. And so he brought me in a couple of trees, you know, small trees. They grow in clumps.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, this other guy brought me in a limb off of a huckleberry tree, and I was wondering, I've already put it in water and everything, you know, trying to sprout it, and I was just wondering if you can root that from a cutting or if it has to grow from the roots or from the berries?
Well, it's pretty woody, and you're going to have to, be pretty good at propagating a stem cutting like that, Terry. And it won't root in water for sure. You're going to need to put it in some organic potting soil mixture. Put some saliva on the cut. That's a natural rooting hormone that helps. And you might have to experiment taking them at different times. You probably have more luck getting germination from some seed.
Okay,
but give both a try and see. I've never grown huckleberry, to be honest with you. And I used to live in East Texas, as you probably know, in that soil. But back when I was a kid, I wasn't interested in plants that much. So I haven't grown huckleberry.
Okay, well, I've already put it in some organic potting soil that I got.
Okay,
and,
good.
I mixed some vermiculite in with it, you know, just to kind of help hold moisture and everything.
That's okay. I don't use that, but it's okay.
And
well, let me know. You're in charge of this research. We've got to figure out how to grow huckleberries, and if you can do it there, we'll see if we can do it here in our gardens in Dallas.
Okay, well, now, vermiculite. Now, what I'm calling vermiculite is stuff like a friend of mine got some nematodes.
Yeah.
And
that's exactly the same stuff.
Okay, well, now that's what I'm talking about.
No, that's fine. It's used a lot like perlite. It's just that I like lava sand and granite and green sand and things like that more. I don't have anything hugely against it. There was a little bit of scare at one time about it being dangerous to breathe, but I think that all blew over. It looks a little bit like mica. You know, it's got those mm-hmm. flat, shiny pieces in it. But
right.
It's okay. It's just not one that I commonly use.
Okay, well, now, that perlite that you're talking about, is that those little styrofoam balls?
It looks like styrofoam, but it's actually a volcanic material that's heated, and it pops like, pops like popcorn. The styrofoam is also used by some people in bed preparation, and I think it ought to be a criminal activity. People ought to be put in jail for doing that.
Now, I had never used that, but I've seen it blowing on the sidewalk.
That's exactly
you know?
Right. That's why I'm opposed to it.
Okay. Okay, well, you've answered my question,
okay.
So I thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye.
It's Christy's turn in Edmond, Oklahoma. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
Good.
Great. Hey, yesterday I had an Oklahoma redbud taken out of my small backyard because it was starting to grow into my neighbor's home.
Okay.
And it's now nicely planted somewhere else.
Oh, good.
Somebody
yeah.
else's house.
I was going to be worried about it. It's a nice shiny leafed one with the
yes.
dark flowers. Good.
Yes. The people that owned the home before me planted it in 2004, about 3 feet from my patio.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, like I said, I'm in a garden home, and my neighbor's house is the perimeter around my house
mm-hmm.
or next to my house, and it was starting to get too big. So cut that down. Now I've got sod down. How can I get that sod to grow best now, Bermuda sod?
I just did this on some new sod. We actually soaked it and sprayed the backside of it with Garrett juice and water. We did some experiments with it and planted it. But on top of it, what I put was dry molasses.
Okay.
At about, in your case, about 2 pounds per 100 square feet.
Okay.
And then drench it really well with Garrett Juice Plus, which is compost tea, vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and liquid fish.
Okay.
And you might roll it or tamp it so there's no air pockets under it, and you're done. It'll be great.
Okay, just keep it watered.
Yeah, just don't let it dry out if we have a lot of high wind and warm temperatures.
Okay.
It'll come out great next spring for you.
Great. Thanks.
Appreciate
Christy. It. Appreciate
it.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate everybody's call today. Interesting stuff talking about nutrition. If you want to see what all we talked about, if you missed any of it, go to our website and go to the current newsletter on nutrition. If you got any more questions, email us. You can get our newsletter by sending us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com. Enjoy your gardens, and don't forget to feed the birds.